We've been in a series called Shape the last few weeks, and I've been really enjoying it personally, and I know that some of you have been really engaging with this whole thought of understanding how the Lord has shaped you, and Scripture says that He has formed you for His glory, and He has formed you to bring praise to His name. So it makes sense for us to figure out, so how has He made me? How do I tick, and how does all that stuff serve Him? So the first couple weeks we spent on spiritual gifts, and that was a blast. We spent 1 week on kind of the big picture, how do all the gifts fit together, and then one whole week on all the individual gifts. Sorry, I went a little long, but there are a lot of gifts. And then last week we spent on heart, and really what that means is your passion, your dreams. What has the Lord put in you that He wants to call out? And it was interesting how the service ended, because it was really all about dreams that have died in our lives. So maybe the Lord put some vision in you, some hope in you, some passion in you when you were 15 years old, maybe when you were 20 years old, and then nothing happened. And life got, you know, happening, and you got married, and you got the mortgage, and you got the kids, and this dream just went away. Or for some of you, this passion sprung up, and you went after it, and it failed, or it didn't happen the way you expected. And then what do you do with that? And so a lot of last week was about, what does the Lord want to do to raise some of these things back up that have been by the wayside? So if you've missed a couple of those weeks, I feel like they've been really formative. And I want to encourage you to go listen to it when you're in the car or at home or whatever, and just catch up. Because it's not about how was the sermon at church. No, it's about you. It's about who are you and understanding how the Lord has programmed you to serve Him, right? So we're doing this for you, not so that I can hear myself speak, right? This is for you. So please catch up. Today we're going to get into the subject of abilities. And I know that some of you, as I've talked with you, you feel like, I don't really have much to offer, So sociologists have found that human beings have, how many of you are human beings? Raise your hand. They have found that human beings have between 3,000 and 5,000 abilities, unique abilities. And I'm not talking like breathing, heart beating. Those are not unique because we all have those. But human beings have several thousand abilities, and each individual has between 400 and 600 unique abilities. So Ken Kappen, you have, well, you might have 600. But we all have several hundred different things that we're good at. And we might think, I'm not very good at anything. Well, you know, sociologically speaking, there are some things that you do that I can't do. And the question is, why did God give you that stuff? And how does that end up bringing Him glory? Because some of those things are a little quirky, right? You may be really good at something that no one cares about, but somehow the Lord wants to use even that for His glory. So I want you to watch this little video, and incidentally, my mom is here. Hi, Mom. She gave me a video this last week that Denzel Washington gave a little inspirational speech to some students, some acting students, and I thought we should start our morning with that. So let's check that out.
True desire in the heart for anything good is God's proof to you, sent beforehand to indicate that it's yours already. So the desire you have, that itch that you have to be whatever it is you want to be, in front of the camera, on the stage, behind the stage, that itch, that desire for good, is God's proof to you, sent already to indicate that it's yours. You already have it. Claim it. Understand this also. You have these dreams, and as Kenny said, dreams without goals remain dreams, just dreams, and ultimately fuel disappointment. Dreams without goals, yearly goals, life goals, daily goals, monthly goals, hourly goals, minute by minute goals. Dreams without goals are just dreams, and they ultimately fuel disappointment. Goals on the road to achievement cannot be achieved without discipline and consistency. You understand? Between goals and achievement are discipline and consistency. I pray that you all put your shoes way under the bed that night so that you got to get on your knees in the morning. And while you're down there, thank God for grace and mercy and understanding. We all fall short of the glory. We all got plenty. Just if you just start thinking of all the things you got to say thank you for, that's a day.
Come on.
That's easily a day. Right? So you have all been given these gifts. We have a little boy in our show. We're doing Raising in the Sun. And we have a circle. We pray every day. And his prayer, this boy is prayed up. He just prays that we go out and touch someone tonight. He says, God, somebody out there needs us tonight. And we all have that unique gift to go out and touch people, to affect people. Understand that gift. Protect that gift. Appreciate that gift. Utilize that gift. Don't abuse that gift. Treasure it. You have it. You already have it. And finally, I'll say this. You'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. I'll say it again. You'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. Now, I've been blessed to make hundreds of millions of dollars in my life. I can't take it with me. And neither can you. So it's not how much you have. It's what you do with what you have. And we all have different gifts. Some money, some love, some patience, some ability to touch people. But we all have it. Use it. Share it. That's what counts. Not what you drive, not what you're flying in, not what kind of house you bought your mama. But buy your mama. We are all in this fraternity together. I'm just one of y'all. I'm just another actor up here on stage.
Right on. Thanks, Denzel. Wasn't that great? So you have already been given gifts. The question is, what are you going to do with it, right? What happens next? How many of you grew up in a church where they did responsive readings? Raise your hand. Some of you are like, what the heck is that? You're about to learn what a responsive reading is. Jeremiah Gray, would you pop down here? And the rest of you guys, please stand up, everybody. And so how a responsive reading goes is, I'll play the pastor part, since I play the pastor part, and I'll read that part. And then when it says congregation, that's you, and Jeremiah will lead that part as well. And we're going to read the parable of the talents this morning, which has to do with the abilities and the things that God has entrusted each of us with. So this is my part. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey.
All right, ready, gang? The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money.
After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them.
The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more.
And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.
The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more.
And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.
Then the man who had received one talent came. Master, he said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.
And his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You may be seated. Thanks. Heavy, heavy ending to the story. Now, this parable that Jesus taught is for us. A couple of the highlights that make it pretty obviously for us. One, each of us have been entrusted with different abilities, different skills, different resources. Each of us have been entrusted with people as well. The second thing is, we have a master who is gone, who is coming back. And we don't know when he is returning, right? Does anybody know when the Lord's returning? If you say yes, you know that's the time he's not returning, right? The third one is this: we will all be held accountable for what we did with what we've been given. And we'll be held accountable for what we did not do with what we've been given. Do you know why we'll be held accountable for that? Because it's not ours. That's the main point of the whole parable, right? What you have, Garrett, is not yours. If you're a believer in Jesus, you understand that everything that you have has been given to you from him. All good gifts are from above. So you are held accountable because it ain't yours. So that is the underlying truth of this whole thing that I hope we can all understand better today. Now, as we look in Scripture, we see some good examples of using things that God has given a person, you know, and we also see some bad examples of did they use it, did they not use it, did they squander it. One excellent example of someone who used whatever God gave them, skills, talents, resources, education, was the Apostle Paul. Just an amazing picture of stewardship. And sometimes he calls himself that, a steward, a servant of the Lord. And if we look at Paul, we can tell some things by what he wrote and by the life that he lived about what is it like to steward well what God has given us. So I want to read a couple of these verses that relate to the parable from Paul's writing. In Romans 12, he talks about using what each of us has been given. And he says this: by the grace given me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Let us use our gifts. In Galatians 6, he talks about comparing. Now, what happens sometimes in our lives is we say, well, so-and-so uses their gift because they have that, you know, wow, look at their gifts. What do I got? Right? So in the parable, there wasn't comparison. Each person had different stuff, but they were all given something, and they were held accountable whether they had one or five. So Paul talks about that, about not comparing ourselves in Galatians. He says, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. And he also talked about working tirelessly, about doing, being diligent in serving the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. It sounds a little like Popeye, right? And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So there are times in Paul's ministry where he's serving the Lord and people are calling him lazy, calling him a slacker, calling him like, you know, hey, why are you talking to me, buddy? You don't have authority over me. And every so often, Paul kind of feels like he's backed into a corner. He says, guys, I've worked harder than anybody to try to serve you, to try to show you the truth, to try to save you from yourselves. And every so often he goes, guys, like, I can't work any harder. You got to do your part. 1 Corinthians 4:5, he talks about being ready for the Lord's return. That's another big theme in Paul's teaching. So he wanted to be ready, and he wanted to make sure that everybody is ready. And in fact, he said, I wish that I could go to hell so my brothers and sisters could be saved. He said, man, if the nation of Israel could be saved, do whatever you want to me. And then he went out beyond that to the Gentiles and said, I just want all of them to be saved. I want them to be ready when Jesus comes back, because they're not. So he said in 1 Corinthians 4, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what's hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. So if you are a follower of Jesus, you are looking forward to Jesus coming back. Hopefully. Hopefully you're not dreading it and saying, oh, geez, right? And hopefully you're not saying, well, that'll never happen, whatever. But I think that sometimes we live like we're looking forward to it and we're anticipating it, and sometimes we just forget that it's even ever going to happen. I love that the vision of Calvary Community for many years was making as many people as possible ready for Christ's return. Because that's got to be in our minds, not in the far, far back of our minds, but, you know, we're going to be held accountable, and that's good. I don't know about you, but I get more stuff done when somebody's, like, going to ask me about it, right? So the Lord is coming back, and with that anticipation, I need to look forward to seeing him, and I need to get ready some stuff in my life for when he comes. So let's look at St. Paul at another detail. So this guy had some natural abilities. There were some things that he was good at, just naturally. So he was tenacious. He was he had perseverance. He was tough. The dude went through all kinds of difficulty in his life, and he did not give up. And a lot of that was because the Holy Spirit empowered him, and a lot of it because he was just a pain, right? This guy was probably not the easiest person to be around sometimes, but the Lord used a lot of that to serve his purposes. The guy was a great student. The guy was great at debate and arguing his point. And I think it's also interesting, he was a very rational mind, but he was also a very relational mind. So you see the guy in town, like, arguing with the religious leaders about if Jesus is true or not. And then that night, he's on the beach crying with people because he has to leave them. So you see these parts of his personality and who God made him to be. Now let's talk about education and skills and abilities. So this guy basically had a PhD in Judaism. He had the best education money could buy, literally, in his day. Now check this out. This is funny. God didn't send him to reach all the Jews. What? That's right? That's interesting. So it would be like you having a degree in English, and then you're sent as a missionary to France. You're like, what the heck is that? But the Lord used this great intellect and this great knowledge, not in the way that Paul expected. He used it in a different way. And Paul was also somebody that learned to be a very good public speaker. It says in Scripture that he was a tent maker. So he literally didn't earn money preaching in some of the towns where he went to. He earned money making tents. And I guess people from Tarsus were known for that in that day. So if you walk into town and you know, where are you from? Hey, I'm at Starbucks. You know, I'm from Tarsus. They would say, Tarsus? Hey, I need a tent. Can you do a tent for me? And Paul's like, sure, I can do it. Right? It was that kind of a thing where they were known for certain things. So somebody from Silicon Valley, you know, you might say, hey, can you help me out with my software issue? And they would say, sure. So Paul was good at a few different things, and all of those things became useful to the Lord. He didn't hold those things back from the Lord. Now, what has God put in you naturally? Just think for a minute. We talked about parable of talents. We talked about Paul. What about you? What about your life? Josh, what are you good at? So just think naturally. When you were 10 years old, what were you good at? When you were 15 years old, what were you good at? Maybe you thought about you haven't thought about those things in years. Oh, well, I'm naturally good with people, athletic, artistic, good with numbers, whatever. Now, what has happened since then? What education have you picked up? What skills have you picked up in the workplace? Classes that you've taken, experiences that you've had. Maybe you've traveled in missions all around the world. Maybe God's used you to pray with people. Maybe he's used you to learn his word like crazy. You can just pop up, you know, this or that verse and you know how everything fits together. Maybe you're good at influencing people, leading people, drawing people together, making a movement happen. Maybe you're good at starting businesses. What does the Lord want to do with those things? Okay, now I need some help from my ushers. So I'm going to have Blake and Bethany. Garrett, can you help them too? And Brian, would you help too? So back on those back seats are some pens and some shape sheets. If you have your shape sheet from last week, and it looks like this, grab it and take it out. So what we're doing with these, and this is online, by the way. You can get it on the website. You can get it on Facebook. But I'd love to have everybody have one of these sheets and a pen. And what we're going to do for just a minute is think about some skills, some education that you have, and just write these things down for a minute. And anything that you're just naturally good at, and hopefully someone's not going to look at it over your shoulder and say, you're not really good at that, right? This is just between you and the Lord. And here's the other thing. If you're like Peter, you're probably good at, 40 things. So just picture, ask the Lord, what are the couple of highlights? What's something that he wants to do in your life? What's something he wants to develop over the next year or two? So don't write down 20 things. Write down two or three important things that you feel like probably the Lord wants to use these skills, these abilities, this training that you have, this thing that he wants to develop. So let's just take a minute and do that. And do we have any writing music that we can put on, Jeremy, while we're doing this? Okay. All right. Now, please take that home with you and bring it back the next couple of weeks. We'll have some here if you forget. But continue working on this on your own, because this is for you. Now, look at the things that you just wrote about your abilities, your skills, your education, your whatever. Now, one other important part about Paul's writing is he said, I consider all of that stuff rubbish, trash, in comparison with knowing Jesus my Lord. So he put all that stuff way below knowing Jesus. And yet, he understood that he was a steward of all of that stuff that God gave him. So you have to find that balance. That stuff does not define you as much as knowing Jesus defines you. And yet, you'll be accountable to use every single bit of it, right? So look at your sheet for a minute and just thank the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for reminding me about a couple things about myself. Thank you for this experience or that skill or that training or that ability that you put in me that maybe I haven't thought about since I was a kid. Just thank him. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies and our own worst critics, and we notice, here are the things that are bad about me. And the Lord wants you to look at the things that are good about you, the things that he planted in you, that he wants to raise up and use. Amen. Amen. Now let's look at the parable of the talents again. So think about the three stewards, and I want to ask you two questions. One, what did they have in common? Anybody? Go for it. They were given responsibility. What else did they have in common? Mm-hmm. Yeah, investing. Good.
They all had money.
Yeah, they had something to invest, right? Cheryl?
They all worked for the same guy.
They worked for the same guy. Right on. Now, what did they have that was not, how were they different? Okay, the abilities were different, right? One had five, one had one. What else? How else were they different? Faith was different. Ah, I like that. What happened with one of the guys? Something went wrong, right? This is a tragedy. This is a right? That's what we would call this type of literature, a parable, but also a tragedy. Something terrible happened in this parable. This one guy buried what he had been given in the dirt. And we might say, what? Why did he do that? And actually the Lord said, you know, why? And so the guy offered up this excuse. He said, well, I knew that you were a hard man. I know that you are a tough guy, and I was afraid, and so I buried it. And I've struggled for decades with his answer. Is he just making an excuse? Or is he really afraid? And if he's afraid, what is he afraid of? Is he afraid of the right thing? Is he afraid of the wrong thing? It seems like he's afraid of the wrong thing. He may be afraid of failure. Maybe that speaks to some of you that are here. You're like, well, I want to do this thing, but what if I fail? What if it doesn't turn out? What if it's harder than I, what if, right? He could also have been afraid of getting involved. Some of you want to do the right thing. I want to help people who are down and out in my community. I want to help start this nonprofit. I want to get involved in missions work. I want to be the parent I need to be for my kids. But I'm afraid of what that's going to mean to my time, to my schedule, to my finances, to my peace of mind. If I jump in, there's a cost, and I'm afraid of that, so I'm not going to do it. Right? Remember we were singing some songs about being afraid? I think many of us live in this fear zone where we are afraid, but we may not even know what we're afraid of. There's maybe this generalized anxiety, fear about jumping in and about going for it. And I think it's wonderful that the Lord gives us this parable to say fear is a lack of faith, and fear is not a good excuse. So here's a question for each of us. This guy buried his talent in the dirt. Now, interestingly, 2,000 years ago, the word talent meant money. And then it became, over time, because of this parable, our word in English, talent, which means skills. So the picture here is everything. It's all of who you are. Finances, talents, skills, personality, the whole shindig. But the question is, what is it like now for me to bury my talent in the dirt? Why would I do that, and what would that look like? What would be your excuse for not doing what the Lord has entrusted you to do? And I learned from this parable that our excuses won't cut it. Someday you and I will have to stand before the Lord, and he will say, what did you do with what I gave you? And I don't want to have to say, well, I was kind of afraid to... That's, right? If you picture it that way, that's pretty scary. I do not want to hang out with him someday and say, sorry, I blew it. There's no excuse that really makes sense. I think the answer I want to have is, thank you, Lord, and I love you, and I put these things to work, and here's what I did by your power and your glory and your grace. And it's not about success in all of those things. It's about obedience and faithfulness. It doesn't say that the guy with 5 talents was a better banker, or the guy with 2 talents was smarter. They were just faithful. They went and they invested the thing. And the one guy is called wicked and lazy. And I looked those up in the Greek because I was looking for some nuances. It just means wicked and lazy. It just does. He blew it, and the Lord called him out on it. I think for us right now, our excuses might be, well, I'm too busy. So just picture that playing out. Like you're standing before Jesus Christ someday, and he says, So I gave you some things. Let's talk. Well, Lord, I just got really busy with my job and with my kids, and that's a pretty awkward conversation. Am I right? Yeah. That's a pretty terrifying conversation. Because the way I picture Jesus in the book of Revelation, he's on fire. Like, his eyes are on fire. His tongue is a blazing sword. He rides a big horse. He conquers the earth. Like, this is not like a painting, Caucasian, hair like Garrett Jesus, right? This is pretty heavy duty. Now, yes, he's the lover of my soul, and he accepts me into his presence by his sacrifice. And I don't have to be afraid of that. But I do need to have a healthy fear of who he is and what that means. And so I don't want to stand before him someday and say, I was too busy, or sorry I got distracted, or hey, I'm not gifted like so-and-so. That's right. Would you look at the creator of your soul and say, why didn't you make me like so-and-so? And then the Lord says, because I made you, because I'm crazy about you. I want you to be you. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes I think we also, really, we get selfish. I think that's another, I would put selfish in here in place of lazy for me sometimes. I don't want to wake up on my day off and do that right thing. I don't want to put in the time and effort to develop that skill that the Lord has given me because, man, that takes time and effort. That's laziness. That's selfishness. And evidently, that doesn't work. So there's got to be a responsibility in me to say, Lord, you've given me this. It's not mine. I want to use it. Help me to not be lazy. Help me to overcome these obstacles, this stuff, this excuse. Help me to unbury it from the dirt and get it out here, right? So sometimes I feel like we're afraid of these different things. And someone once said that fear destroys opportunity. The Lord wants to do something. It's not just, am I responsible? Am I in trouble if I don't do it? It's not just this punitive relationship. How many of you are parents? Raise your hand. So when you have kids, you do two things. You say, here's what's going to happen if you do it right, and here's what's going to happen if you do it wrong. Because kids kind of need that. And so the Lord has done that with us too. He has said, if you are faithful with what I've given you and I'll empower you by my Spirit and I will lead the way and I'll walk out with you on the water, I'm going to make you, you're going to be in charge of a lot of stuff. Be faithful, be obedient, and man, I will bless your socks off. Right? And then he says, if you don't, there's some warnings. Don't be separated from him because you're not obedient and faithful and following him and doing what he asks you to do. That's what it says. I didn't make that up. That's right here. And so I feel like there's these two things that happen. Jesus taught this parable because he wanted to give us a very clear warning about being good stewards. And it's not just because he wants us to be obedient and faithful, although God requires that. He requires obedience. He requires worship. But there's also a flip side of this that's really, really important. He also wants what's best for you, not what's best from you. He wants you to be who he's created you to be. He wants you to experience the pleasure of Jesus as you walk on earth. He wants your life to matter in the lives of others. He wants you to be lit up for him. So it's not just God commanding you and saying, Garrett, you better do this and that. Some of us have that picture, maybe you have that picture of God from your childhood of this big giant finger that's looking at you like you're not enough. It's not like, it's more like an open hand saying, come with me. Let's go on this road together. I want to make you all that I've created you to be. I want to show you things that you don't even know about yourself. I want to open up new vistas of beauty in you. I want you to see how creative I really am. And God, the creator of your soul, has made you amazing in his sight. Someone once said the human soul is the most beautiful creation in the universe. I think he's right. God has created in you so much beauty and so much power and so much purpose that he wants to unlock. Does that make sense? So we have to be afraid of the right thing. We need to be afraid that we're going to be held accountable. And we need to be afraid of not becoming who we're created to be. Those are both really important pieces. Okay. Let me welcome up Jeremy DeLate. Would you welcome Jeremy? So I have to tell you something funny as Jeremy comes down this morning. So Jeremy is running sound this morning, which is not his usual gig. And because he was running sound, he couldn't play bass or keys. And because he was going to play bass or keys, he couldn't help with kids check-in or kids ministry this morning. I thought it was kind of interesting that Jeremy wears a few hats and a lot of hats. But I just laughed this week because I was thinking, who should be our testimony this morning about what is it like to have some gifts and skills and God's using them? And your smile and your face just was like in my mind. I'm like, I got to ask Jeremy. So what do you feel like God has been teaching you about your own gifts, your own abilities, and how he wants to use them?
Well, when I was thinking about what to share, this verse really, this parable really impacted me. Is always, what am I doing with what God gave me? And for me, it's been like a lifetime, I don't want to say burden, but like a reminder, like a canary on my shoulder, just going, what are you doing with that gift? What are you doing with that? And so I always look for opportunities to stretch myself. Like, this is my first time ever doing sound, never done it before. There was nobody that was willing to do it, and so it was a step of faith, you know? But I know God gave me ability to understand computers and things of this nature and audio, so I was, take a crack at it. And it's working so far. But the other thing is the story of David. And specifically, there's a book called The Tale of Three Kings by Gene Edwards. It's a really good book. But David did a lot of things where there was need. So he was the shepherd, you know, out of all of his brothers. He was the only one that was the shepherd doing that job. He wasn't in the house. He was chosen to play the harp for the king. He killed Goliath because there was no one else doing it. He was anointed king, but he didn't take it by force. Instead, he went to war for the existing king, killing Philistines, running from the king. And he only became king when it was finally time for him to take the place, and God led him to it. So there's a lot of that in the book, Tale of Three Kings, that kind of goes into that. But so how that translates for me is at my work is a good example. A lot of big corporations, they have volunteer opportunities, right? They want their corporation to look like they're giving back to the community. There's, you know, even things about being green. There's things about, you know, education. Like, we have a program, Cap to Gown, where you can have a kindergartner or a grade school student come and you can tell them about what you do. All those little things at your work are an opportunity to show others that you care, and that also it can lead to other things. I've had several times where volunteering for work has opened the door to talk about Jesus or why I do what I do. How can I keep volunteering when so many of my peers are too busy, you know, but they see that I'm also busy and I'm still volunteering. So that can be a big testimony at work. And then at church, look to be a part where there's need, just like David. When I first got here, there wasn't much need. You know, Billy was on the stage. They kind of had all the musicians. I kept kind of saying, hey, I play, but there wasn't much need. So I started doing the kids stuff. And then turns out they had need to help with the check-in. So I started helping out there. And then I started playing music for the kids. And I just looked for ways to stretch myself. I'd never done kids ministry before coming to this church either. But just to be open and use what God's given me, mainly being willing, using faith. Yeah.
Right on. Thank you, Jeremy. Love it. So Jeremy brought up a couple of great points right there. And music for the kids didn't really exist until Jeremy just had this thought of, hey, I'm not using it here. Maybe I could use it there. And I've loved, Jeremy, your willingness to just look and see what's needed and not have to be roped in to serve. So I hope that you've heard some of that from what he was sharing and from this parable. Look for ways to get involved and just say, Lord, how do you want to use whatever I've got in here, and how do you want to develop this? So if you think about that piece of paper that you have, and the abilities God's given you. Remember Denzel said, unless you have a plan, right, it's going to end in disappointment. Unless there's a little intentionality and some discipline happening, this is never going to happen. And so think about the abilities, the skills, the education, the stuff that God's implanted in you, and offer it back to him and say, Lord, this is yours, and I want to be faithful So help me to know how to develop this, how to use this. Often the best way to develop it is to put it in practice. Do you know what Jesus did with his disciples? For 3 years, he put them in a classroom. Oh, wait, no, that's not how it went. For 3 years, he said, come with me. He taught them on the road. He taught them how to pray. He taught them how to pray for healing for people. He taught them how to speak. He taught them how to love people, all kinds of people, while he was out on the road. He mentored them. Many of you need to find somebody to mentor you in your thing. Many of you need to dive into God's word, dive into some other resources and say, learn how to, you know, learn about what God has given you and how you're going to use that. And pray and say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this next? We have some needs here right now to have some more volunteers with kids ministry. Some of you need to jump in and help with that. We need help at the tech booth back here also. People running slides and helping with sound sometimes. And setup is another one. Just on Sunday morning, some people can't find us. We need help just getting signs out and helping the classrooms to be ready for our kids. These are easy ways to begin taking some steps towards faithfulness, right? So please do that. So we're going to sing a song together, and I'm pretty excited about this. John and I met earlier this week, and there's a song that we talked about, and then yesterday I was reading the lyrics, and it just blew my mind. I feel like sometimes we are planning a service and the Lord is like, you're playing cards and he has his cards. And then he goes, look what I've got for you guys this Sunday. And I feel like he's doing this. He's going ahead of us and we're paying attention to the leading of his Spirit. And he wants to give you a gift of a song that you get to give back to him as a response to what we've been talking about. And it's Take My Life and Let It Be. And I remember this song when I was a kid. I remember this song growing up. I remember my grandfather singing this song. And I just hope that you can make this a gift back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm serious about who you've made me to be, and I want to use all of who I am for your glory. So here, I'm just going to give it to you in this song, and I want to make this my prayer. Okay? So let's have the band pop up. And I think it would be bad for us to sit down and be relaxed for this. Let's not be lazy and wicked. So let's stand up and get involved in this next song, okay?
Let's offer this to the Lord this morning.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise, let them flow.
Take my hands.
Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Swift and beautiful for thee.
We offer you our voices this morning, Lord.
Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee, filled with messages from thee.
Here's the hard one.
shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne. And take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee.
You can stay standing. So what do I have here? Some of you can't see it in the back. Let me come up here. So a sword, when it's in the sheath or the scabbard, doesn't do a whole lot of good except you look cool, right? It needs to be taken out in order to be used. And I think this is really a picture of the gifts that God has given each of you that maybe have been stuck in here. And the way that you get good with this thing is by using it, not by walking around looking cool with it in the sheath. So the Lord wants to release gifts. He wants to release abilities and skills and education and promise and dreams that He has placed in each of you. Will you let Him do it? That's the question. Will you overcome the fear, the paralysis, the doubt that keeps this stuff from getting engaged? Because right now, if it's in here, it's not serving the body either. It's really not. And there are people in your neighborhood and here in our church family that need you to be you. So let's pray. And then when we dismiss, if you want to pray with somebody and you want to spend some time, maybe you got some fear, some doubt, some hiccups, some chains, some stuff that's keeping you from taking next steps, come on down here and pray with somebody. And I want to have Cheryl and others, Wendy, if you're available, people from the prayer team, just come on down here down front and pray with somebody right afterwards before you get out here. Because sometimes we get distracted, right? You might leave out that door and wish that you'd prayed with somebody and stick something in the dirt. Not stick it in the dirt. We talked about that being bad. But put a stake in the ground that you're going to make a change. Say, Lord, I want to be disciplined about this. I want to take this seriously. Praying with somebody can help you get started. So, Lord, we bring to you our fear, our doubt, our excuses. And we ask, Jesus, that you would be more powerful than any of that and that you would draw us closer to you and make us more like you. And, Lord, we ask that these skills and abilities that you've put in us would be unsheathed and used for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Amen.
How about if we do a benediction with a sword? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Come down for prayer.